Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of our English feature program dedicated to Pope Benedict's pastoral visit to Africa. We'll be hearing from our correspondent in Yaoundé, the capital of Cameroon, where the Pope met on Thursday with Muslim leaders, celebrated Mass for the official presentation of the working document for next October's Synod of Bishops on Africa, and finally visited an important centre for the rehabilitation of the handicapped. Promoting peaceful coexistence between all members of the human family. That insight was at the heart of Pope Benedict's meeting on Thursday with 22 leaders of Cameroon's Muslim community on the third day of his pastoral visit to Africa. While Catholics make up just over a quarter of the population of Cameroon, Muslims represent around 22%. In his brief meeting with the Muslim leaders, Pope Benedict said the positive interfaith cooperation in their country could be an example for other countries in the region. Returning to a favourite theme for such interreligious encounters, the Pope spoke of the fruitful relationship between faith and reason.
My friends, I believe a particularly urgent task of religion today is to unveil the vast potential of human reason, which is itself God's gift and which is elevated by revelation and faith. Belief in the one God, far from stunting our capacity to understand ourselves and the world, broadens it. Far from setting us against the world, it commits us to it. We are called to help others see the subtle traces and mysterious presence of God in the world, which is marvelously created and continually sustains with his ineffable and all-embracing love. This insight prompts us to seek all that is right and just, to step outside the restricted sphere of our own self-interest and act for the good of others. Genuine religion thus widens the horizon of human understanding and stands at the base of any authentically human culture. It rejects all forms of violence and totalitarianism, not only on principles of faith, but also of right reason. Indeed, religion and reason mutually reinforce one another, since religion is purified and structured by reason, and reason's full potential is unleashed by revelation and faith.
Pope Benedict speaking there to Muslim leaders in Cameroon on Thursday. The main event of the Pope's morning in the capital Yaoundé, however, was a mass celebrated in an open-air stadium, attended by President Paul Biya and a crowd of around 40,000 enthusiastic people who had come to see the Pope present guidelines for the forthcoming Synod on Africa to church leaders from right across the continent. Our correspondent in Yaoundé, Festus Tarawali, reports.
Solemn, colourful, lively, participatory and inclusive. These are just some of the adjectives that best describe the High Mass on a sunny Thursday morning at the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium here in Yaoundé. Thousands of faithful began heading to the sports complex in the early hours of the morning, while tens of thousands of others lined the streets leading to the stadium, waving and shouting with joy as Pope Benedict made his way to the venue. The event was the high point of the Pope's coming to this country. Cardinals, bishops, priests, religious and the lay faithful have all come to Yaoundé to join the Holy Father in launching a new era in the Church in Africa at the Service to Reconciliation, Justice and Peace, which is the theme of the Second African Synod and the reason for the celebration of Thursday morning. The Church in Africa is trying to come to terms with the numerous problems facing it, such as conflicts, poverty, hunger and the abuse of power and corruption. The Church also has a daunting task in trying to make itself more relevant and more attentive to the challenges of evangelization in a continuously globalized world. Little wonder then that the Pope precisely touched on some of these issues in his homily.
Just as in other continents, the family today in your country and across Africa is experiencing a difficult time. But fidelity to God will help see it through. Certain values of the traditional life have been overturned. Relationships between different generations have evolved in a way that no longer favors the transmission of accumulated knowledge and inherited wisdom. Too often, we witness a rural exodus, not unlike that known in many other periods of human history. The quality of family ties is deeply affected by this. Uprooted and fragile members of the younger generation, who often, sadly, are without gainful employment, seek to cure their pain by living in ephemeral man-made paradises, which we know will never guarantee the human being a deep, abiding happiness.
The Pope exhorted the people of Africa to trust in God and not to be carried away by false glories and false ideals, but to recognize the true author of life.
Cher Frère l'Épiscopat, Président des Conférences Épiscopales Nationales et Régionales d'Afrique et de Madagascar.
The second part of the celebration saw the presentation of the Instrumentum Laboris to the bishops of Africa. The Instrumentum Laboris contains a summary of the responses to the questionnaire in the lineamenta or framework document that was submitted to the 32 episcopal conferences, as well as to those of the 25 departments of the Roman Curia and the Union of Superiors General after its publication in 2006. After his address to the bishops, the Pope handed the document to the representatives of the national, regional, and continental bishops' conferences of Africa. There was more singing and jubilation as he waved and blessed the participants on his exit from the stadium in the company of Cameroon's President Paul Biya and his family. With the Pope in Yaoundé, I am Festus Tarawali.
Later on Thursday, Pope Benedict went to visit a centre for the care and rehabilitation of young handicapped people. Named after the Canadian Cardinal Paul-Émile Léger, who worked as a missionary in Africa and founded the centre in the early 1970s, this national institute is now run by the state under the direction of Grace Fomulu. She told our correspondent Festus about preparations that have been going on for this important papal visit.
There has been a serious preparation that has involved all the levels of my hierarchy. That is the Ministry of Social Affairs, that is the mother ministry in charge of this institution, the level of the other ministries who are helping us as partners, and the highest hierarchy, which is the presidency. A lot has been done concerning the chapel, the seats, and the preparation of the patients from within and without, because we also have patients here who come from neighboring countries because of the sub-regional status of this institution. So we receive patients from the region who are also hospitalized here, and they have not been left out. We have also prepared the dressing, the feeding of all the patients that will be received here, and I think the security of the state also has put in place a lot of various levels of security to make sure that everything is in place.
And what services do you provide to the sick people that you have in the center?
Well, since the creation of this institution in 1971 by late Cardinal Émile Léger, its mission initially was that of eradicating polio with children. When this virus was eradicated, thanks to the able efforts of the Ministry of Public Health, the institution opened its doors to other pathologies, and a majority amongst this is congenital malformed children. We have accident cases, either their job or, job-related or accidents, road traffic accidents. And when they come here, we do elective surgery, which is we do it from time to time, but the center has as a primary mission that of re-education and reinsertion of the patients after treatment.
Festus Tarawali talking to Grace Fomulu, director of the National Institute for the Rehabilitation of the Handicapped in Cameroon. Meanwhile, in the secular press, criticism continues over comments that Pope Benedict made on the plane on the way over to Cameroon, focusing on the need to promote responsible sexual behaviour rather than the distribution of condoms as the most effective way of combating the AIDS pandemic. Following negative reactions to the Pope's words on Tuesday, the Holy See's press office issued a statement clarifying the Catholic Church's firm commitment to combating the spread of the HIV virus. Sean Patrick Lovett reports.
The Vatican press office issued a statement responding to the criticisms, saying the Holy Father only repeated the Church's positions and the essential elements of the Catholic Church's commitment to fighting the scourge of HIV/AIDS. First, through education in the responsible use of sexuality and reaffirming the essential role of marriage and the family. Second, research and application of effective treatments, along with efforts to make such treatments available to the largest possible number of patients. Third, the spiritual care for HIV/AIDS victims and all those who experience suffering, for they are ever near to the heart of the Church.
For an expert's perspective on this issue, Emma McCarthy spoke to Monsignor Bob Vitillo, special advisor on HIV/AIDS to the global Catholic aid and development network Caritas Internationalis. He began by outlining a new campaign to combat mother-to-child transmission of the HIV virus, launched by Caritas on International Women's Day earlier this month.
Caritas Internationalis has been engaged in the struggle against HIV and AIDS for now over 20 years. So it's based on our experience, especially of the Caritas organizations, of the religious orders, and of other Catholic organizations in the field, that we've highlight the special situation of children living with HIV as well as with TB. The fact is that for HIV, we've made great progress in the world in getting more access to the life-saving antiretroviral medications for adults. And now, even in poor countries, up to 30% or more of adults living with HIV have access to these medicines and are able to live longer and have a better quality of life. But we have not made as much progress with the situation of children living with HIV and with TB. The fact is that less than 15% of those children have access to these medicines. And the children who don't have access to these medicines will die before, most of them will die before they reach their second birthday. And some of the problems involved here are the fact that there are not as many different medicines available for use with children. There are more choices that doctors have in prescribing those medicines for adults. And also, many of the medicines that we have for antiretroviral treatment are not available in formulations and in dosages that are appropriate for use with children. So that in many places, doctors have to give one large adult pill to a mother and tell that mother to break the pill into six parts and guess on what the right dosage for the child will be. So the whole purpose of this campaign is, first of all, to encourage pharmaceutical companies, governments, research institutes to do more research to get better medicines and better formulations available for the children, and then also to open up access to these medicines at affordable costs for those children who are affected by HIV and TB living in poor countries. The reason why we decided to launch the campaign on International Women's Day is that, first of all, we know the very, very special relationship between most mothers and their children. And with women living with HIV, there's a great danger that they could pass the infection on to their child, both while the child is still in the womb, during the birth process, or even after birth while they're breastfeeding the child. And one of the pillars of this campaign is to promote better access to the prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV. And that's possible to do by using some of these same antiretroviral medications with the mother, one dose before she gives birth to the child, and then one dose of these medications to the child after the child has been born, within 72 hours after birth. When we do that, we could drastically decrease the possibility of a mother infecting her child with HIV.
How expensive are these antiretroviral drugs that are life-saving for these women and children? How expensive are they to manufacture, first of all? And how much are, you know, countries being charged, or agencies, medical agencies, aid agencies being charged for these drugs?
Well, this is also an excellent question. How much it costs to actually arrive at the medication, it's hard to really estimate, because many pharmaceutical companies tell us that it costs a great deal to do the research in the development of these medications. But the fact is that much of this type of research is funded by governments and not by the pharmaceutical companies themselves. And yet the pharmaceutical companies often put on a very high price, especially after they've first patented the medicines and those patents are in effect for 25 years. So this is a real problem, that sometimes we have a much higher cost than really is justified for these medications. The second thing is that with the adult medications, because now with the special programs of the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB, and Malaria, and also the United States President's Emergency Program for AIDS Relief, there's a lot more marketing that is going on. There's a lot more purchase of these medicines, and so they've been able to negotiate the prices down for the adult medications. But because not that many children's medications exist, the prices still are quite high, and it still could cost between 8 and 12,000 euro per year to treat one child in the northern countries, in the high-income countries. That's an impossible price to think of to treat children in the developing countries. And that's why, once again, we need to have less costly formulations of these medicines, and we also then need to be able to get more children having access to these medicines so that the costs will go down in the developing countries as well.
Many critics of the church would say that the church is not active in preventing transmission of HIV/AIDS because of the church's belief that certain forms of contraception are not acceptable. What would you have to say to those critics?
Well, first of all, the church has excellent programs of HIV prevention based on its teaching around the sacredness of human life and also the sacredness of marital relationships. So the church emphasizes very much the fact that two important ways of preventing the spread of HIV is to be sexually abstinent outside of marriage and to be faithful to your one spouse for life within marriage. And those are very effective ways to stop the spread of HIV and other kinds of sexually transmitted infections as well. And I think that then brings the whole issue of HIV prevention to another scale, and that is to really focus on and preserve the dignity of the human person and the dignity of the relationships between two people in marriage. However, there are also other forms of preventing the spread of HIV, and one of those forms is this prevention of mother-to-child transmission of the infection. And that is why it is so important to help women who may be living, especially those who are living in high prevalence infection areas, to find out if they're HIV infected already. And then by very, very cost-effective means, the cost is sometimes under $2 to give a dose of this antiretroviral medication to the mother before she gives birth and to the child immediately after birth. And then to help the mother find other ways to safely be able to feed her child, since she might also be spreading the infection through breastfeeding. Those are important ways to prevent the spread of HIV, and we need to talk much more about those ways, as well as the other ways that other people who may not be accepting the teaching of the Catholic Church might decide to use other means. But these are important means that the Church promotes and is completely within the teaching, conformity of the teaching of the Catholic Church.
Monsignor Bob Vitillo is Special Advisor on HIV/AIDS to Caritas Internationalis, the Global Catholic Aid and Development Confederation. But what of the reactions to Pope Benedict's visit in Cameroon itself, a country which his predecessor, Pope John Paul, visited twice in 1985 and 1995? Father Giulio Albanese is a Comboni missionary who has worked in Africa for many years and was the founding director of the Misna News Agency, which offers a grassroots and often more accurate perspective on issues facing the church in Africa today.
Well, there is no doubt that the atmosphere here in Cameroon is fantastic. I mean, people are extremely happy to welcome the Pope, because in a way or in the other, this is a sign that the young and the old churches have got a common destiny. That is to say, according to the gospel, communion, sharing has to be a priority, especially if we take into account that we are living in a global village. So if we want to shift from words to deeds, if we want to change the rules of the game, take into account what is taking place in the world, the crisis affecting the economy, the world economy, well, there is no doubt that the church, all the Christians, in a way or in the other, have to do together something so that the values of the gospel may be preserved, respected, affirmed.
And as we speak, the Holy Father is presiding at Mass to present the Instrumentum Laboris, that is the working document for the Second African Synod. And the theme, of course, of that synod will be is the Church in Africa in service to reconciliation, justice and peace. What's your perspective on this theme?
The theme is really challenging, a prophetic theme, taking into account that in Africa during these years, many people have been suffering, and there is the great need to have a positive vision looking to the future. There is a great need of peace, reconciliation, love, justice. And there is no doubt that the Christian community, from this point of view, must be like the salt in a biblical perspective. There is the need to communicate the salty taste of the Word of God. That is to say, it is important that the political field, economy as such, may be evangelized. There is no doubt that the responsibilities are shared. Very often we say that if things are not going well in Africa, it is because the African politicians, they are the first ones to be blamed. I think we have to be very honest. I mean, we have to understand that there are, let us say, domestic responsibilities, but there are also external, foreign responsibilities. There are foreign interests. Africa could be a paradise, there is no doubt. This is a very rich country. I think the greatest wealth, I mean, besides the raw materials, are the people. And, I mean, there is a cultural inheritance that must be preserved, and at the same time also evangelized. These are all challenges. There is no doubt that we have to stop, especially in the so-called industrialized countries, we have to stop looking at Africa in a paternalistic perspective. Africa is not asking for our charity, in the negative sense of this word. Africa is asking for justice, there is no doubt, because Africa is not poor. We should explain to our people that it is much more, the amount is higher, the amount of money that from Africa goes to the north of the world rather than from the north of the world to the developing countries. That is to say, there is a real exploitation of this continent.
So what can the church do, in your opinion, as a missionary who has worked in Africa, studied in Africa, and founded the missionary news agency, Misna?
Very, very often we think that the church should act on political basis. Pope Benedict XVI said very clearly that the church has different targets. The target of the church is to evangelize the world, to proclaim the good news. And in this perspective, the very content of the evangelical message are the values of God's kingdom. And among these values, there is reconciliation, peace, justice, love. So the real task of the church, or the real mission of the church, is to reaffirm the importance of these values. You know, very often we split the spiritual life, the spirit from daily life. We have to understand that we must combine these two dimensions. Otherwise, our Christianity remains inside the sacristy. Our faith remains frozen within our churches. It is important that the Eucharist we celebrate in our African churches, but even in the European churches, in a way or in the other, must go beyond the walls of the churches so that the society as such may be evangelized. And it means that there are new fields of the so-called mission. The political field, the economical field, even the milieu of the so-called media, the information system technology. Well, these are challenges for the church. And no doubt that in a way or in the other, we as Christians, we should be the first one to put into practice these values, no doubt, before then telling the others to do the same.
And one issue that is dominating the headlines, you know, especially in the secular media, is this comment by the Holy Father, you know, during the flight from Rome to Yaoundé on the use of condoms to fight against HIV and AIDS. And the Pope hasn't said anything new. He has just reiterated the position of the church. You were in that plane. What's your perspective on this?
What I find shocking, really shocking, is the fact that the European, the international press during these days is saying very little about the visit of Pope Benedict here in Africa. And in my opinion, this is really a mortal sin, in the sense that there are certain big issues that the church with the Pope is facing, the issue of peace, of justice, of democracy, in a continent that wants to be alive within the global village. And let us say, what is taking place has been neglected. This is not fair, because there is no doubt that the information is the first form of solidarity. We know that in the church about this issue, there is a debate among the theologians. But what really I find shocking is the fact that the only news that has been published by the international media is the issue of the condom. Nothing has been said about the neglected wars that are taking place in Darfur, in Somalia, or in Congo. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of, let us say, even millions of innocent people during these years who have been slaughtered on the altar of human selfishness. And the press has always said some very, very little.
Comboni missionary father Giulio Albanese, former director of the MISNA news agency, talking to Festus Tarawali in Cameroon. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English Programme for today. Join us again at this same time tomorrow for further details of Pope Benedict's pastoral visit to Africa. You're tuned to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.